Talking about Elijah. Okay. Elijah is a prophet, and he was a prophet at a time when there was massive amounts of turmoil with an evil ruler named Ahab, with his evil queen, Jezebel. The most wicked couple in the history of wicked couples. Some of you think you know a wicked couple. It does not compare to Ahab and Jezebel. They were going so far down the wrong path that they were leading everybody else astray. But not only that, they were killing people and murdering people for reasons that we would just go, why would they ever do that? So they were just evil. And they wanted what they wanted when they wanted it. Some of us are like that sometimes, right? Well, before we go any further, let's pray. Lord God, we come to you right now. And Father, as we talk more about Elijah and his life and the impact that he had, God, I ask, Lord, that you allow us to take something away from this message. And God, may our hearts be open to what you want us to hear. Reveal what you need to reveal. And God, enable us, God, to discover you more deeply and profoundly. Amen. There's this passage in James. I'm going to use a few passages from James today, but you may not even know this is in James, but here's what it says in James 5:17. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. If you remember, the land that it's referring to is this land that Ahab and Jezebel ruled over, and it was a region in which needed agriculture. That's where they made their money, but that's also how they fed. That's how they ate. That's how they got their supplies, and they stored up. But they weren't ready for a drought to take place. And one of the reasons why God allowed this drought to happen was because Baal was considered one of the gods that prospers. And what happened was, he said to Ahab, it's not going to rain in this region. It's like almost like a death sentence in many ways. But it didn't rain. People were starving and hungry. And you may say, it's not fair. But you see, people were going so far from God, and they had turned their back so far away from him that they were just doing what they wanted to do with their lives. And I'm going to have to say this, and this is hard. Some of you might walk out after I say this. Some of us may fall into that category. Uh-oh, there he goes. Now, so if we fall into that category, what happens is we can't discover this beauty that God actually has for us. You see, God desires to infuse us with life and joy and hope and peace in the midst of anything that we face in this life. And Elijah, notice it says Elijah was a man just like us. It doesn't say he was a high and mighty prophet. No, nobody in the scriptures is high and mighty. Did you know that? With the exception of one, Jesus, who is God. So that's the only one. But Elijah was like us. He was nobody super special. I'm not saying you're not special, you're special. But I mean, he wasn't this elite person that was amazing and incredible and had the highest intellect of anybody there. And not only that, was charismatic. And not only that, was incredibly wealthy. And not only that, he everybody wanted to be around him. Because guess what? Nobody wanted to be around him, and nobody wanted to hear his prophecies. Nobody wanted to hear anything he had to say, so much so that he had to flee on multiple occasions. And if you remember, he went to the Kereth Ravine, which was a desolate place. And some of us in our lives find ourselves in the Kereth Ravine. We find ourselves in a desolate place, a place where we're wondering how to get out and why has God brought me to this place. And then Elijah gets out of that place and he eventually comes to Ahab. And he talks to Ahab. This may sound weird to you, but we must come boldly before the throne of grace. You may not have a clue what that even means. You see, the throne of grace is Christ's throne. And, you know, sometimes visuals may help. Throne. Notice I don't sit on this thing. There's a reason for that. I'm no better than anybody else. I'm not saying if people have sat in this in the past that they think they're better than anybody, but you may wonder why I never sit on this thing. But Elijah didn't say he was amazing and incredible, but what he did, he came boldly before the throne of grace. He didn't just come and, hey God, here I am. Do this for me again. Do that for me again. No, he came boldly before God. The throne of grace means grace is God's reward at Christ's expense. It's an unmerited favor. It's his gift, a free gift given to us. That's what grace is. It's like we don't deserve it. Have you ever seen someone go before a judge in a court and they had committed a heinous crime? Maybe they had murdered somebody. And I'm going to say this. We kind of look at God like this at times. We look at him as... have you ever seen that show Care Bears back way back? We almost look at God as like a Care Bear. Like this Care Bear in the sky that's all snuggly and cuddly and nice. And we'll do whatever we want, right? And this little rainbow shoots out from their heart. I think that's what happened. Something weird like that, right? But sometimes we look at God like that, and whatever we ask, God should do for us. And then we've done something heinous and hideous, and then we come before God, and what we do is we're like, hey, you cuddly Care Bear in the sky. Here I am. Don't worry. I know you're not going to say anything to me. I know I'm good to go. Well, he is a righteous judge too, right? And some of you may say, well, I've never murdered. I've never done any of that. Have you ever looked upon somebody and said, man, have you ever said, oh, I'm going to kill you, just in kind of passing? But in reality, it was anger from your heart? Have you ever felt hate for somebody? Like a raging hate for somebody? Oh, yeah, but that's okay. That's okay. Well, there's got to be this profound love. And God, what's so amazing about God is he, no matter where we find ourselves, no matter where we are, if we come before the throne of grace, and we say, God, here I am. I'm a mess. Yeah, I've messed up in my life, but here I am. Lord, take me and move in my heart and my mind and transform me. God, you can do it. God will do it, and he does do it. And it's a matter of coming boldly before the throne of grace. You see, Christ is seated on the throne, and what happens is who's on the throne of our heart? You see, there's a throne in our heart. There's a throne. A lot of us, we're on the throne. And we reign in our own lives. Or we've put other things on the throne. And you may say, who are you to say this? I can be on the throne. I'm in control of my life. I'm a powerful person. I empower my life. I can do all things through myself who gives me strength. No. A lot of us live like that. It says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You see the difference? There's a reliance on ourselves, and we will always mess up and do things wrong, right? We're not perfect. Who's perfect in here? Nobody's perfect, right? No one. We may think we are, but we're not. And if you think you are, ask the person next to you that knows you. They will inform you otherwise. Here's what Elijah did. In the text, we're in, if you want to open a Bible, 1 Kings chapter 18, and we're in 42. And it says this, starting with 42. Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel. Carmel was a mountain. He bent down to the ground and put his face between his knees. "Go and look toward the sea," he told his servant. And he went up and looked. "There is nothing there," he said. Seven times Elijah said, "Go back." The seventh time the servant reported, "A cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea." Remember, 3.5 years, there has not been any rain. There has been no clouds with rain. There's nothing. The ground is dry. The people are dying and fading away. And 3.5 years has passed. But Elijah falls face down, his head between his knees, and he's crying out to God. It doesn't actually say he prayed, but this is a typical form that is used for humbling oneself before God and seeking out God. Every person in here has been through a difficult time in their life. And I wonder if during that time, if you had gone to God and humbled yourself before the throne of grace and said, "God, here I am. I need you to fill me and use and do what you need to do with me, because I'm a mess. Lord, so much stuff has transpired in my life, and I don't know where to go from here. There's too much pain. There's too much hurt. There's too much anguish. There's too much, in general, there's just too much, God." What if we actually came to him and called out to him and shared with him our heart? What would happen? Instead, a lot of times we turn inward and everything becomes about us and inward focus. But God's there going, "Don't you get it? Yeah, that's a throne. And I want to be on the throne of your heart. I don't want to just be on the exterior looking in. I want to be on your in your heart, and I want to transform you from the inside out." He wants to do a mighty work in us. Elijah knew this. He faithfully followed God and climbed up the mount. And as he climbed up, he bent down and put his face between his knees in humility, realizing that he didn't know what was going to happen next, but he prayed, and it's amazing what prayer can do, because there's four qualities of effective prayer. And I think a lot of times what we do when we pray, we go to God with what we want. When was the last time you really went to God and just praised him and shouted out and threw your hands up before God and just said, "God, here I am. I thank you for this. I thank you." When was the last time you went through the list of everything you're thankful for in your life? Have you ever tried to do that? Just call out to God. "God, I thank you for feet. I thank you for toes. I thank you for my knees. I thank you for my legs. I thank you for my hands. I thank you for my eyes. I thank you for my nose. I thank you for my mouth. I thank you that I'm able to speak. I thank you that I'm able to see. I thank you that I have hands that I can feel. I'm thankful that I can taste. I'm thankful that I have a house. I'm thankful I have a car. Lord, I'm thankful for shoes and clothes." And you could go on all day if you really think about it. And there are some sitting here right now that say, "You don't know my life. You have no idea what I've gone through. You can't tell me I can say thanks for anything because I have nothing in my life to be thankful for." I'm going to tell you, are you ready for this? That is a lie from the pit of hell. There is so much in life, even when we're at our lowest times, if we really turn and reflect, we can find all sorts of things to be thankful for. It's a whole mindset shift. Next week, we're going to be talking about something very difficult, depression. And Elijah goes through that, but we're going to talk about it next week. And it's something that a lot of people deal with, and they have to internalize all of it because, unfortunately, a lot of times within the church, it's not talked about. But it's important to talk about it. So next week we will. But as far as prayer goes, there's four qualities of effective prayer. And the first one is that effective prayers are humble prayers. There's a reason why he came to God in humility. And in 1 Kings 18:42, he bent down to the ground and put his face between his knees. You can't get much more humble than that, can you? You're just down and your head is between your knees and you're just going, oh man, what do I do from here? In James 4, 6b and 10, it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. There was this time in Stacy and my marriage when it was very difficult because she was at this place where she had Kelsey, then she had a surgery. She had a large cyst removed. And then we had Troy. And then she developed another cyst the size of a grapefruit on her ovary, her right ovary and right tube. And if you know a grapefruit, it's pretty big. So it was on her right tube, right ovary. And the blood work came back, and it seemed like it was going to be cancerous. And the surgeon went in and had to take out her right tube and her right ovary because it was wrapped so tightly around. And they took it out, and they did a biopsy. And we had hundreds and hundreds of people from all over the world praying. And you want to talk about coming to a place of humility before God? When you think your wife, who we have these young children, potentially has cancer. We were just calling out to God, and it came back benign. When blood work comes in and says that it's likely you have some issue with cancer, and then the surgeon says it looks like it from what they can see on the MRIs and everything, and then they go in and they abstract this, and they do the tests, and it's benign, no cancer. That's a God thing right there. Most doctors and surgeons would say blood work typically tells you what's going on with the body. God can do immeasurably more than we can ever hope for, imagine. It's a matter of us faithfully, humbly coming to him and calling out to him in the midst of the depths, in the midst of the highs. Wherever we find ourselves. You see, effective prayers are specific prayers. Calling out specific things to God. And Elijah says, go and look toward the sea, he told his servant. And he went up and looked. There's nothing there, he said. Go look. Be faithful. Go look. It was a specific request. Go and look out to the sea. You do not have because you do not ask for. James 4, 2b. You do not have because you do not ask. You may say, you know what? I've asked God specifically for something, and I didn't get what I asked for. Have you ever done that? I know for myself, I've asked God for specific things, and it sure didn't seem like he answered that prayer specifically. But you know what? A year down the line, I look back and I go, man, did he answer that prayer specifically? I had no idea in that time that was answered specifically. But when we ask specifically, God can answer specifically. The prayers of a righteous man, a righteous person, avails much. It doesn't avail a little. It avails much. What is righteousness? Righteousness is being right with God, being right before God. Ask yourself, am I right before God? Yeah, I ask God a lot of things, but am I right before him? What makes us right? Well, it's this grace. It's us believing in Christ as Lord and God and embracing grace. Embrace grace. Effective prayers are persistent prayers. Had to pray over and over and consistently over and over and over again. I'll never forget my sister. I embraced Christ when I was in college, like fully and completely. I decided to commit my life to him and devote my whole life to him. And my sister was not at all following God. And I would share God with her, and she would curse me out, like seriously curse me out. Leave me the beep, bop, 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 all right? And it wasn't until she went through some really, really tough stuff that she came to this place of brokenness and humility that she came before God and embraced God. And then all those seeds that I planted, even though I was reluctant on her part, she didn't want to hear anything, and the seeds other people planted, she came to this saving knowledge and understood grace in a whole new way. With a newborn baby, you begin to understand grace and unconditional love in ways that you never, ever could before. So effective prayers are persistent prayers. Sometimes it doesn't get answered right away. Go and look toward the sea, he told his servant. And he went up and looked. There is nothing there, he said. Seven times Elijah said, go back. He goes once, he goes twice, he goes three, he goes four, he goes five, he goes six. He's like, this is getting annoying. I have to keep climbing up to the very peak of the mountain and looking toward the sea, but nothing. And now I go back and he tells me to go again. And finally, the seventh time, he's going, what is that? The sky's totally clear, and he sees something coming up from the water, the sea, and it looks like the size of a guy's fist. And he's going, that's crazy, man. I haven't seen that. Whoa, I've never seen that. And it's getting bigger. I better go tell him. I'm going to go tell him. Whoa, I'm going. Right, he runs back. He goes down. He's like, man, you're not going to believe this. You were right. The seventh time I went up and I saw this, I don't know what it was. It looks like a cloud, like rising up from the sea. And it looks like a man's fist, about the size of a man's fist. Big things can start off real small. Life change can start off really, really small, but make a huge difference. The faithfulness of Elijah, but also the faithfulness of the servant, going up and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. The effective, fervent prayer of righteous man avails much. James 5:16. Are you a faithful, righteous person because of God's grace? Or are you in a place where you've never embraced grace and you're trying to figure out what that actually looks like? Have you been hardened or jaded by the church? Have you seen stuff go on within a church circle and you're like, whatever, I'm never getting involved in that. I'm never following God because of what I've seen. I've seen too much. I've seen too much hypocrisy. I've seen too much garbage go on, and that's why I don't go to church. I can still have a relationship with God but not go to church. I hear people say that all the time. I'm going to say to you, if you're one of those people, you're wrong. The reason why you're wrong is because Christ set up the church for a reason and a purpose. And what that reason and purpose is to be able to be in community. Yeah, an imperfect community, but one that is going to be able to edify you, build you up, inspire you, challenge you, even get you mad at times. Even like right now, some of you may be upset. You may be like, I so want him to shut up right now. Just shut up, dude. Why are you talking about me? Stop talking about me. You may have seen a lot of junk go down within a church wall, but the church is living. It's an organism. We are meant to be an organism. And then when you've seen death in a church, it's because people have hardened their hearts to God. There are people that have hardened their hearts to God and aren't fully open to what God has for them. And you may be somebody that has just walked away because you've been fed up and frustrated and confused. at what's gone on because somebody's wronged you in horrible ways that profess to be a believer and a follower of the way. And they totally weren't. If you've been hurt in your life, if you've been jaded, if you've been hurt by somebody that is everybody else looked at as a follower of God, and it turned out they sure weren't, don't let that hinder you from discovering God personally and intimately in your own life, because God can do exceedingly more in our hearts and our minds than we can ever think or imagine. Effective prayers are expectant prayers. When you pray, do you expect your prayer to be answered? Or when you pray, do you like go, well, and I don't think he's going to answer it, but I'll pray because someone told me to pray. So I'll do that kind of reluctantly, but I'll do it. I don't expect much because I just don't. Or when you pray, do you expect God to move and do incredible things? Like life-altering things. The seventh time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Go and tell Ahab. Hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. All right, you may be going, what's going on? Why is the servant going to tell Ahab? Well, they're talking about before the rain stops you, because in the region right between where they were and where they were headed, it was known to flood and for massive amounts of dark mud to overflow. And there have been armies that had been trapped in that region because the mud swelled up so high. It was almost like quicksand in many ways. So he's saying, go do this. Go tell Ahab before this happens. Now, something strange happens. And you may read this text and go, what is that talking about? Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose. A heavy rain came on Ahab. And Ahab rode off to Jezreel. So, servant tells him, Ahab is headed toward Jezreel. And in between Jezreel and where they were, that's where this area of mass flooding could typically occur. What's weird about this, here you go. Elijah, it says, the power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. You may be like, what? He had superhuman speed. He was like Superman. He ran ahead. Now, in the region in which Elijah grew up, they were known to be trained runners, kind of like in Ethiopia, you see all these marathon runners that are amazing. Well, in his region, they were trained to run. So he ran ahead of Ahab. Now, the chariots and things of the king typically had men that would run before them. So it was part of the culture. A man would run. But this particular thing was an act of Elijah saying, see, I have predicted that no rain would fall, and now I have been used by God to share that the rain is going to fall, and it did, and I am going to be honoring my Lord and God with my life, and I am going to also be honoring the king and running before him. You get it? And you may say, he must have been running real fast to go ahead of a chariot. You got to understand the terrain was windy and rough, and the chariot couldn't go that fast. But Elijah ran about, are you ready for this? About 17 miles to Jezreel from where he was. This prophet was fit, man. He was a fit guy, and he ran. You see, in that culture, they used to walk everywhere. But he was a trained runner, too. He had some athleticism. He ran 17 miles before, and he got there before him. Wow. That guy was in some good shape. A lot of times when we think of prophets, we think of these guys with these huge gray beards that fall to the ground, and they're such long beards they drag on the ground, right? Well, in their latter years likely, but man, they were in shape. This guy was in shape, and he took care of business. There's a few more verses I'm going to share, and then I'm going to conclude. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. It's a completely different shift in your mind. It's a completely different thought process. I am going to believe that God is going to answer my prayer. I'm not just going to think he might. It's a belief that he will. Meanwhile, the sky grew. We've already read this. But the power of the Lord came upon Elijah. And when it did, Elijah would do what God told him to do and did and went where God told him to go. What is your prayer need? You may have a prayer need this morning. You may have something that you've never shared with anybody. And you may have some hurts and pains and anguish that you haven't really dealt with. And you haven't received healing in your own life. And your heart's been heavy for years. But nobody really knows. Nobody really knows the pain and the hurt that you've been through in your life. Elijah experienced all sorts of pain and hurt. He knew what it was like. The hurts and the pain and the anguish of our life can hinder us from doing and being who God would have us be and do what he wants us to do. Not being healed, receiving spiritual healing, can completely hinder us. So we're going to conclude this time. When the music's playing, if you need to come up and receive prayer, the elders will come forward and we can pray for you and anoint you with oil. It says in James, it says, if you are in need of healing, then come before the elders and allow them to lay hands on you and anoint you with oil. Comes right from the book of James. There's a reason why I was using certain passages in James. But if you open your Bible to James chapter 5, you can see it laid out right there. Because the prayers of a righteous person avails much. So if you are in need of prayer this morning, come on forward and we'll pray for you.